we thought we'd get one of, or arguably, the greatest ever female sports person, and not to just narrow it down to one gender, but one of the all-time greats of Australian sport,
yep.
Dawn Fraser, who you had during the course of the week, went out and visited Winks.
As I said, I don't know who was more excited, Dawn Fraser to meet Winks or me to meet Dawn Fraser. It was fantastic, a lovely lady.
And she's been good enough to join us on the line. Good morning, Dawn.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
Oh, we're really well, and thank you very much for your time on a Sunday morning. We do appreciate it. Dawn Fraser, AC, MBE. The records are incredible. Three gold medals, of course, in three consecutive Olympics in an individual event. First person to do it. Dawn, how did swimming become a part of your life as a youngster?
Well, I was the youngest of eight in the family, as you probably may know, but
yes.
You guys might be a little bit too young to know. My brothers and I used to look after the council horses in Balmain because everything was delivered by a horse and cart when I was growing up. Mm. And I had become a lover of horses, and we used to look after them for weekends and take them up to my uncle's farm at Epping and ride them up there and keep them up there for the weekend and go up to Lane Cove National Park and camp and do all those sort of things and play in the mud and stuff and bring them back Sunday afternoons fit and well, and they were ready for their week's work. And I just loved horses, and I started jumping and doing equestrian stuff, but as I said, we were sort of a working-class family, and Mum and Dad didn't have enough money for me to buy jodhpurs and riding boots, so being an asthmatic, I said, I'll just go swimming, and that started from there. I met Mr. Gallagher, and my career started off from that.
Dawn, a mutual friend of ours, I won't mention his name in case he's got this wrong, but is it right that you rode some track work for Colin Hayes as well?
I rode water work for Colin Hayes down in Adelaide. I lived in Adelaide for 7 years with Mr. Gallagher when he got the swimming pool down there. Mm. And to earn extra money to save up so I could go home once a month to see Mum and Dad, I met all the jockeys used to come into the swimming pool for their sauna and lose their weight. And I met, the great Billy Pyers and Jimmy mm-hmm. Johnson. And then they introduced me to Mr. Hayes. And I said to him, why don't you swim your horses on a Sunday morning? And he said, would you be interested in doing it? He said, can you ride? I said, yes, I can ride. Mr. Williams gave me my first riding boots, which I still have. And then I earned enough money with Mr. Hayes to buy some jodhpurs. And I started riding water work. But when we used to ride water work down in Port Adelaide, we used to just wear swimmers and shorts because horses are very hard to sit on when they're wet. They're
exactly.
very slippery.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of fun, and it seemed to help him. And now, majority of the trainers of today have got their own water at their own stables now,
yes.
and they just swim them around, which is good. Mm.
Did you show ability in swimming straight away, Dawn? I know you mentioned Mr. Gallagher, Harry Gallagher, who identified you age 14, but did swimming come naturally to you?
Yeah, it did a little bit because I was never taught to swim. My brother Donnie, who passed away when he was 21, took me off the 10-metre tower on his back, and he said, and I was 4 and a half at the time, and when we came up out of the water, he said, all right, sister, swim into the ladder, and I did it, I suppose, a funny dog paddle and got in there, and I just loved the feeling of the water, and then my cousin used to train me down at the Elkington Park Bars, which is now the Dawn Fraser Bars on the Parramatta River. And we used to swim down there. Then Mr. Gallagher came out across one for about 10 days of training at that pool or at the bars. And then he got, because Des Moines Pool was washed out in a storm. And then he said, how would you like to come over and train? So I used to ride my push bike over to Des Moines Pool at 4:30 of the morning and started training there.
Yeah, different era. Dawn, was there always that love of swimming and being in the pool? And I say that because swimming is one of those sports that just takes up so much of your time, and you really need to be just totally dedicated to the sport. Was there always that love for it, even when deep in your career?
Yeah, I sort of fell in love, but I fell in love with it more when I was training because Mr. Gallagher taught me a hell of a lot about the water, how to put my hands in, how to move fast in the water, and it was it was very technical, and we had Forbes Carlisle doing a lot of the background work. And I met Professor Boss, who John Hendricks and I trialled his electrocardiograph machine out for him in Adelaide. Okay. And, you know, that was sort of all tied in, which made me love the sport even more, because it was, there was so much technology going into it at that early stage, and I'd like to think that I was a pioneer of all of that.
Mm. You went in and you won your first Olympic gold medal aged 18. That was Melbourne, 1956. How did you handle the pressure? Because we see it now with young athletes at Olympic Games. The pressure of home Olympics, I don't know whether the expectation was there to win. It probably certainly was from you. How did you handle that pressure at the time, Dawn?
Well, I used to speak with Mr. Gallagher about a week before my event, and I used to plan my race the way I wanted to swim it, and he allowed me to do that. We experimented with it in our training, and he said, I'm the coach. You're the swimmer. You've got to swim in that water. That black line is yours.
Mm.
And he allowed me to do that, and that was very successful in my career, and that's the way I did it. When I got up on the blocks before my event, yes, I had butterflies in my stomach, but my black line was my guide, and against anyone that I swam against, I didn't really worry about it, because I wanted to get up there and back and be the first and the fastest one to do that.
We did that,
and that was my approach.
Yeah, you did that in three successive Olympics over the 100 metres. I look back on that era. I wasn't born, obviously, then, Dawn, but I've read a lot about it. I've seen a lot of vision. It was a golden era of Australian sport, and most of the great sporting champions at the time were our great Olympians. There was yourself. There was Betty Cuthbert. There was Herb Elliott. There was Murray Rose. What was the camaraderie like in the Australian Olympic team during those Olympics that you attended?
Oh, in 56, it was fantastic, and we didn't have such a good Olympic team in Rome. It was, you know, the first overseas trip, and I guess, you know, everyone was sort of excited, and, you know, we didn't do as well in Rome. And then Tokyo, we came back. We didn't have as many swimmers in Tokyo, but at least we won some gold medals and silver and bronze medals. And then we had a bit of a lapse, but the women were on the fore. They were in the forefront, and they sort of tried to set the record straight for all the other swimmers to come back. And you know, Swimming Australia has got me back in now as a mentor to our kids that are going to Tokyo next year. And so I'm hoping that I can help all those and help the Paralympians at the same time.
The Australian Swimming Union, Dawn, coming out of Tokyo, banned you for a decade. Banned you for a decade. Now, I think you've said subsequently that you didn't steal the flag or whatever. It seems excessive at the time. Was there an outcry by the general public about how excessive the punishment was for you?
Oh, absolutely. Mm. Absolutely there was. You know, I had 95% of people behind me in Australia. And so I decided to, you know, I had the great Clive Evatt, QC, who came to me and said, well, let's fight this, because, you know, it's not worth a 10-year ban.
Yeah. Mm.
So we did. We fought the swimming union in court. We won the case, and the unfortunate thing was Burge Phillips, who was the president of the ASU, hated my guts because I came from a working class family.
Yeah.
And it took 3 years to go through the court. So by that time, it was a bit too hard for me to come back. I wasn't allowed to swim in the swimming pool with other swimmers, because I would have made them, you know, sort of be banned also. And that's how hard the rules were.
Yeah.
And I guess I disliked that man immensely for doing that to me. And, you know, I must say I didn't speak to him ever after again, and I just, you know, we had a swimming slump then, because the way it was run by those officials. And those officials were all men, they're all on the board, and not one of them could swim, and that was something that really, really hurt a lot of people in this country when I got that ban.
Absolutely. Can you imagine the outcry today, Dawn? It must have been bad then, but there was no way they'd get away with it. Hey, Dawn, if your career was able to continue on after Tokyo in 64, could you have won the 100 free again at Mexico in 68?
Yes, I think I could have, because I was still about 1.5 seconds in front of anyone throughout the world, and there wasn't anyone coming through, and I was looking forward to Mexico, but that was unfortunately taken away from me. And But the Mexican Olympic organising committee invited me over as a guest, and it was stay at the sea. I swam a 60.1 in the training pool over there, and that would have been good enough to win the gold medal. And I, fortunately, I don't hate people, but I dislike Bert Phillips very much.
I think, and I've read this previously, I think you would have been near enough to 1972 as well, Dawn, with the times that you were still posting.
Well, if Mr Gallagher would have stayed in Australia, I would have probably gone for 72.
Yeah.
Because, as I said, I love the sport. And what I was trying to do, I was trying to get rid of the amateur status so that we could earn money.
Yep.
And keep on swimming and make it a professional sport so that people coming from behind could make a living out of it. And yes. Now, look, after all these years, it's just starting to change. That we've got an international swimming league that's going to start up. And FINA came out and said if any swimmers swim in the international swimming league, they won't be able to swim in the Olympic Games. It's all right for them to sit back on their backsides and say, well, I'm going to take my family to the Olympic Games and we're going to get all the best seats and fly first class.
Yeah.
They're going, the swimmers have made the money for these associations, so they've got to bend a little bit and say, let these swimmers try and earn some money out of swimming and earn a good living, and we'll keep these swimmers on for quite a number of years, and we'll see the names carry on all the time.
That's the key, and it's so similar to situations in other sports, isn't it,
yes.
Dawn, like cricket, etc. Dawn, how tough was it then, during your career, financially, to continue to swim for as long as you did?
Well, I worked three jobs a week. I worked as a sportswear buyer with Charles Burke's company in Adelaide, who was bought out by David Jones. So if I came to Sydney, I had a job, David Jones, which was good. I was never out of work. I used to work in a coffee shop on Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights, and on Saturday afternoons and Sundays, well, the Sundays I used to work for Mr Hayes, and Saturday afternoons I used to pull petrol in North Adelaide. So I was a very good saver. I learnt to save very well, and I love working. So occasionally I still work now at my age, which is good.
Mm. All these awards: Australian of the Year 1964, International Swimming Hall of Fame 65, Member of the Order of the British Empire 67, AO for Australia later, Sport Australia Hall of Fame, first female inductee, IOC name you the world's greatest living female water sports champion. With all those accolades to your name, Dawn, was there the sports person or sports people that you liked watching, that you had the privilege to meet throughout the course of your decorated career?
Oh, look, I've met a lot of great sportsmen and women. I met Muhammad Ali or Cassius Clay in 1960 when he fought Tony Madigan in Rome.
Yeah, wow.
Which I still say Tony Madigan won that fight. But
I
kept in contact with him and for quite a number of years up until he's passed.
Yeah.
Okay. I've met, great. I've had pleasure in meeting great people. Morgan Freeman has become a very good friend of my grandson. He met him when he was 3 months old, and we've stayed friends. And I have met the Queen. I've met the Duke of Edinburgh, and I met Diana and Charles. And
wow.
But my greatest pleasure was when I went. Met Winx and had a photograph with Winx. She is such a beautiful horse. She gave me a kiss on the cheeks a couple of times. And I've got some great photos on my phone that haven't been published. But the one that they did yesterday was just a beautiful photograph. And she's just such a beautiful, beautiful filly. And I think that my daughter and my family and I are coming down to Randwick to watch her last race at Randwick on the 13th of April. So that's going to be a very emotional time because I just love the horse. Yeah, she's beautiful.
She's such a placid mare, wasn't she, Dawn? Oh. She stood patiently for you and the photographer for a while.
Absolutely. She didn't want to prick her ears up. And then one of the strappers, I should say, he had an elephant noise on his phone and her ears pricked up.
Is that right?
He used that to make her ears prick up. It was quite funny.
It was just so beautiful. She looks as though she knows everything that's going on. All she wanted to do was, she'd been training, she'd finished her workout. All she wanted to do was get into her food and her hay bale, and that's why her ears were back saying, "What am I doing here?" And
Leave me alone.
Let me go. I want to eat.
Hey, Dawn, I know you do love your horses too, and you race a horse with John Singleton. Our Dawn, how's that mare coming along?
She's spilling at the moment. She's up at Strawberry Farm, stud farm at Mount White. She's just having a bit of a spill. She's got to grow up a little bit. She's a bit naughty at the moment, but she's a lovely babe, filly, and I love her very much.
Dawn, the emergence of women's sport has been quite spectacular over the last couple of years, but we always like to celebrate the pioneers. It's been our great pleasure, and I'm sure from a listener point of view as well, a great pleasure having you on the program today. Thank you very much for your time, and we look forward to you having a little flutter on Winx on April 13.
Oh, I certainly will, and thank you guys very much. And, you know, I'm glad to see the women's sport now getting the highlight. I didn't like the photograph, the stuff the other day about our Australian footballer girls. She's a very athletic person, and, you know, those people that said those nasty things about, they should be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah, well said,
yeah,
Dawn.
Well said. Thanks, Dawn. Have a great day.
Cheers, boys. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Dawn.
There she is, Dawn Fraser, former member of Parliament, former publican.
No wonder they made a movie about her.
Yeah.
What a career.
The eighth
what
of eight.
Life.
The eighth of eight.
Yeah, there
and
you
that
go.
Disregard for authority that
you
comes through
that.
In the
Is that the youngest child syndrome,
yeah,
is it?
Yeah.